I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello, hey, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. It's a Patriots Monday, not a victory Monday. To many, a moral victory Monday, including Andy Hart here, which we'll get to in just a minute. Nice to have you with us here today. We will hear from Drake May, the author of that incredible play at the end of regulation, as well as that not-so-incredible interception to end overtime. We will speak with Jonathan Jones. That's all coming up later on in the 4 o'clock hour. But let's go ahead and start where we need to start here, and that is another loss for the Patriots, another encouraging game from Drake May. And this was more than encouraging. I felt like this game, he took a step up from encouraging. Like, we've seen a lot of encouraging things from him. What we saw in that game was something different from that. That play at the end of the game, that was special.
Yep.
That was a special play. It was a special moment. It didn't translate to a win, which I know he's going to come in here. He's going to say, hey, you know, yeah, great play at the end, but we didn't get a win, and that's all that matters. But I think even me, in my cold, dark heart here, I understood the significance of that play. I think that that was something that got everyone's attention. You think it's going to be another recruitment video.
Yep.
My concern is the same concern I had a couple weeks ago when he made his debut, and that is the rest of the roster. That is what he's surrounded with. That is the fact that you actually did something I didn't even think. I didn't think that Drake May was going to be this big hit. I didn't think he was going to be good right away. I wasn't even sure if he was going to make a good quarterback in the NFL. It looks like he's going to. But the fact that this is the way that they set things up for him, and that this is the team they've presented him with, and this is how they're choosing to support him, is each week that goes by less and less forgivable to me. You know, all these people in the front office, they all were here, and they all witnessed firsthand what happens when you have to prop up your quarterback and then take things away from him. And rather than prop up the quarterback here, they're leaving him with nothing. Mac Jones needed a lot of help to be propped up, right? He wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the natural ability and talent that, yep, that Drake May has. So they went on a big spending spree, and they brought in these tight ends and these wide receivers. Josh McDaniels was here. They had a good run game. They had lots of things to sort of prop him up when he had a bad game, you know, or a bad throw or whatever at the end of a game. And by the way, I think this was Drake May's worst game, just between you and me. And we'll get to why I think that. But there were things that Mac Jones didn't do well that the team propped him up with. And rather than say, okay, the move here now is to get an offensive coordinator we really believe in, someone who's sought after, someone that we really want to be with this guy and to bring him along, and at least one big-time playmaker at wide receiver, a security blanket for him, something like that. Someone like Jacoby Myers, but better, right? That's who Mac had, someone like that, but better. He had Bourne in his prime, too. And they didn't do any of that. And you saw what happened.
Born in his prime?
Born in his prime, I would say. When he was getting 800 yards a season, that's what he got.
He's still in his prime.
Okay, but he's not
that good.
He's not getting 800 yards in a season like he did in the Mac Jones rookie year, which is, you can't deny that. He was much better back then. Either way, forget I said that, but like either way, those were things that when you took them away from Mac Jones, you saw things go left really quickly. You saw things go completely off the rails, and rather than learn from that, they're now starting their new quarterback out with the same piece of 4-13 offense that got Bill Belichick fired for negligence, for neglecting the offense. They brought that whole offense back, and that's how they're starting their third overall pick off this season, and predictably, they're not winning a lot of games. Things are happening in these games. He had to do everything in that game yesterday. He had to do everything for that offense. That shouldn't be the case. When you have that much, when you have draft picks and that much cap space, for him to have to go out there in his third start ever and do everything, like that to me, I couldn't deal. It was fourth start ever, but I couldn't deal with that. Like that was watching that go down. You know, he was good, and you can't deny that that play at the end was a special play. But to see him in this situation, Andy, pisses me off. I'm sorry. I think it's unforgivable that this is the team he's been given.
So I get your reaction because I do think the sort of parallel takeaways from yesterday was Drake May special.
Yes.
We got a guy, and oh my God, I think the rest of the roster is actually worse than I thought it was, especially in terms of the offensive line and the targets he's throwing to. Other than Hunter Henry, there's not a consistent, capable adult target for him to work with. That's just the reality. And Hunter Henry's had a really nice season.
Yep.
He had a nice game yesterday. But I actually spin zone it, I guess, a very unofficial early first segment spin zone, a rarity.
Okay,
here.
We don't get a lot of those, so all right.
I thought it was Drake May's best day as a member of
the You thought Bible. It was his best game?
Best day. No, no, no. I need you to listen. Words have meanings. See, Paul Perillo would have picked up on that. Paul Perillo was just in here.
Was there a game yesterday?
No, no, no. But he had a post-game press conference, and he had a pre-game where he was coming off for whatever it is, and we can get into it with him, concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. And you had some trepidation, A, to play him, and
Absolutely,
B, how he would run.
Yep.
Well, he played, and he ran his ass off, he was productive.
That was the most productive part of the whole offense.
And then he got to the post-game press conference, and I think a lesser man, a guy who maybe didn't have to deal with this at North Carolina, hell, a Caleb Williams, or even a Peyton Manning. I've heard Peyton Manning throw his line and his guys under the bus.
Kicker under the bus all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was a bus opportunity yesterday in Nashville, right? There was a bus opportunity for Drake May to beep, 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 back it up, go forward a little bit, maybe run those jackals over.
He could have.
And all he talked about was a dumb decision he made. He even went back and brought up, like, the first run of the day. He's like, I got to beat a safety there and make more plays.
Mm-hmm.
He had the most rushing yards from a Patriots quarterback since 1977, Steve Grogan. And I think that was the year they broke the rushing record. Like, you did some pretty special things running the football. They had, what, 317 yards of offense, and you had 302 or whatever the numbers were?
Yeah.
You were the offense. The line was terrible. The receivers were terrible. And the quarterback wasn't perfect. He looked like a rookie quarterback. There's some learning curve. There are experiences that are being had. But he looked like a guy that just might be special. And I'm going to use a weird analogy here.
Okay.
A baseball analogy. A young baseball player. You had Mac Jones go to the plate with a nice light bat that was perfectly weighted for him. And he was hitting singles.
Yeah.
Hitting singles.
Okay.
And then you're like, oh, I forgot to bring that bat. Can you use this 36-35 bat? It was Babe Ruth's. It must work. And he was like, holy crap, this thing's heavy. I can barely swing it. I think right now Drake May has the Babe Ruth bat. And when you take the weight off and give him a bat that's actually functionable for him,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see, he's going to be like, wait, this, oh, those guys are going to block up there and I'm going to have a little time to stand here.
Right.
And when I throw it to a guy on a slant, it's not going to go straight through his hands and almost get picked off behind him. I think he's taking his lumps early in terms of what he's dealing with, and that's going to make him a better quarterback when they actually have a left tackle. Hey, Jerod Mayo, can we put away the Vadarian Lowe might be the long-term left tackle idea. Stick that one in your back pocket and walk away. Can we put away the, oh, Ben Brown has been this transformational presence in the middle of the line. Put that one in your back pocket and walk away.
He got transformed yesterday, that's for sure.
How about you put away the idea, Jerod, a couple weeks ago when you said the offensive line has become a strength of this team.
Mm-hmm.
Are you even watching? Because it's not a strength. They stink. It's a stink of the team, not a strength of the team.
Yeah.
And you're still a soft team. I know you've backed off on using that mantra. You said when you can't run the ball and you can't stop the run, you're a soft team, correct?
Yes.
They couldn't run yesterday. 1.6 yards per carry for a guy you keep telling me is the top 10 running back in the league?
10 carries, 16 yards for you math majors out there. He did get in the end zone two times, but could not run the ball to save his life.
Anything.
And they couldn't run block for him either.
So you're still a soft football team. You chastised us in the media when you said the concerns about the offensive line were overblown in August.
Mm-hmm.
No, they weren't. The offensive line stunk in August, and for the most part, it stunk all year long. Even when they were running the ball, I told you, not sustainable. When 118 of 120 yards are after contact, not sustainable. So the offensive line is not good. The wide receivers, I'm real close, real, real, real close. And I know the receivers probably really care, and Elliott Wolf really care. Just press the damn reset button. Mm. Get rid of all of them. Just, like, scrape them off and get a whole new set. Because if I can't count on DeMario Douglas to catch a slant with the game on the line, then what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? So I am, as a maniac and a bit of a quarterback apologist and a May apologist, I was thoroughly impressed with how he handled himself coming off a, I'll continue to say, concussion protocol week. I don't know whether he was concussed or not. Because did you notice where he said, you know, we had a spotter and with my cleats on, I kind of stumbled on the turf doing my balance test.
Right.
So he doesn't think he had any sort of head injury. Mm-hmm. That's the tone I took from that. Maybe we'll let him clarify when he gets here later.
And Mayo was dodgy about it.
Very. He was
very,
in the
very
protocol.
Dodgy.
Very
yeah,
protocol.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually fine with, because I don't know how anybody diagnoses.
I'm fine with talking smack to Chris Curtis. I mean, you know, whatever. But, like, yeah, he was very,
right.
he didn't want to answer it.
Oh, he
I'm
has
not going to go back and forth about this.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could tell he didn't want to say the wrong thing.
Which is fine, because I think concussions are weird and they get you in trouble, because if you're not taking head issues seriously, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, on a day that Drake May, and where did he deal with pressure? Remember when Tom Brady used to complain about pressure? Where would it come from? Right up the middle. Simmons was the best player on the field. He was dominant. He made Ben Brown look like he's a practice squad center, probably in part because Ben Brown is a practice squad center.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was with no run game, no receivers, no offensive line help, the whole thing, coming off an injury. I thought Drake May handled himself about as well as you could for a guy making his fourth NFL start. So I am more optimistic. And then, you know what I also liked? Forget the recruiting videos that we're going to send outward.
Mm-hmm.
The recruiting videos in that locker room about guys calling him an effing winner.
Yeah.
And like he's Josh Allen. Oh, where'd you hear that? I told you he was Josh Allen last November, people. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining the party, Devon Godchild.
Andy, lots of people are saying that.
I was the first. I was yelled at.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Media members in this town tell me it was kind of a dumb.
Was one of them just in the other room a minute ago? Did he come in here and yell at you?
I think it was Phil Perry, actually.
Phil Perry?
I think he told me it was an overly aggressive comp or something like that when I did TV with him.
We asked him who people compare him to the most. He said Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. So, I mean,
these people do it, and you people need to listen. You have yourself a franchise quarterback. We said this year was about developing a franchise quarterback, right?
Yes.
So far, this is a successful year?
Yes, although
and
I would say
today
was...
And you got the number one pick back.
Well, for now, it was a perfect day. But... you've got a lot of bad teams in this NFL here, too, which we're going to get to as well.
I didn't envision like a 10-team race for the number one pick.
There's 9 teams with 2 wins.
Yeah,
there's
bad.
9 2-win teams. It's the halfway point of the NFL season, and half the league sucks.
And the good news is I think we've just about exited the Patriots stretch of quote-unquote winnable games.
I think so, yeah.
So in that big chunk of crappy teams, you got a good chance here. You got a really nice chance. Now, I still think Carolina stinks. And the other thing...
Well, you got the Bears next week, and they've been having a rough couple
of weeks.
But
they're better.
They're definitely better.
They're better than you.
They're on the downside.
And it's on the road,
so
it's their home game, so they should have home field advantage. But I
got 2 Bills games. You got the Chargers.
Oh, you're going to get mollywopped
by the
Dolphins,
the Rams. Yeah, Cardinals maybe. I don't know.
They're all better than you.
They're all every team in the league.
They're all better than you.
That's why they have the number one pick. They're the worst team in the league.
The only thing that concerns me is with all these teams involved coming down the home stretch, there could be some, what do you call it, chicanery, tomfoolery. Like, teams could be jockeying.
Trying to adjust.
Doing weird things in December and early January. That's the only thing I leave the door open. Otherwise, you have... a franchise. We did our exercise on the Six Rings postgame show. Remember when I asked you how many teams in the National Football League would take Drake May right now?
Yes.
16 is the answer.
16 would take Drake
Half
May right
of
now?
The NFL would take Drake May right now. You have a franchise quarterback, and you currently have the number one pick in the draft. This is the greatest season in the history of the franchise.
I bet you Drake
that
May.
Seems like exaggeration.
If you strapped him down and gave him some... truth serum would say, yeah, I'd probably go to 16 other teams, too, if you asked me.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yes,
would
come on.
To Carolina?
Maybe not, but
no,
there's not one of the 16. There's a lot of other teams there out there, is what I'm saying. Is when you put that out there, sure, there's other teams that would look at Drake May or Jaden Daniels or a lot of the rookie quarterbacks this year and say, yeah, I'd take that guy. Look at what he's doing, Caleb Williams. I think you could say that about most of the rookies this year. Most teams out there would take him. Not most, but about half, more than half. And they'd say the same thing. Well, he's young. We got him on the rookie deal. He's a franchise quarterback. Who knows what he could become now? And I think that's sort of – this already is looking like a strong QB class. But that doesn't necessarily mean that this – is the right place for Drake May, and they need to do some work with that. They have to. I hope that tomorrow's productive. I know Mayo came on and said, "Hey, you know, it's not like the baseball trade deadline. We don't big names don't get traded."
Is he paying attention?
So don't trade a bunch of big names. First
Amari
of all, that's
Cooper,
not true.
Devontae Adams—they've already been traded,
right? And Christian McCaffrey got traded 2 years ago. So, like, yeah, big names move at the deadline. That happens. And even if that doesn't happen for the Patriots, which I'm not expecting it to, doesn't mean they shouldn't be active.
Correct.
Doesn't mean they shouldn't do whatever they can here to upgrade this team and try and pull them up. Because May can't pull him up by himself. He can't pull this team up by himself. And I think even next year, if you have a similar-looking roster to this, Drake May, as he continues to progress, this roster will drag him down. I believe that. I think that's a real thing. I think it happens in the NFL.
Sure.
Especially when teams don't end up doing the right thing, doing right by their young quarterback. The Patriots need to take this seriously. And I'm talking about in the next 24 hours here.
Look, so, this isn't baseball.
It is not baseball. Good point. But it is a trade deadline where... significant players move almost every year now, it feels like. Now, they already have. His better answer might have been all the big-name players have already moved, something like that. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's not true. And they
I don't think that's
that.
Necessarily true either.
I don't necessarily think that either. But this is where you and I take the philosophical divide. I believe they're going to be very aggressive. I believe they're going to be in place. Our buddy John Lyons had a beautiful mock trade for April's draft with the Patriots trading out of number one, trading down to six, getting an extra one and a two next year, and then using a pick to trade for DK Metcalf. They draft Will Campbell at six. If they get Will Campbell and DK Metcalf and then draft other players near the top of each round, then I will be feeling good. But my concern also isn't just will they be aggressive? Mm-hmm. Will they get people? I think they will. I think they have to be. They have to spend. They have the money. That whole thing.
Right.
Do I have any faith in Elliott Wolf to put together the right talent? Because
not looking at this roster right now, this present roster, no, I'm not.
Because everything he acquired stinks.
Yeah.
That seems like exaggeration, but the more I think about it, other than Drake May, what do I feel good about what he did? His offensive line is a debacle. His veteran receiver that he brought in was a healthy scratch and is a cheerleader on the sideline. Give KJ Osborne credit. Great attitude. Be a cheerleader on the sideline. But I'd also like for you to be a veteran presence at receiver for a young quarterback who needs a veteran presence at receiver. So Elliott Wolf, and we don't have time to get into this now, but there is a rant coming about Elliott Wolf that no one sees coming.
Yeah.
No one sees
mentioned
it coming.
This to me, and I had no idea what you were talking about.
I have an issue with Elliott Wolf that goes well beyond his building of the roster or failure to build the roster because he was dead wrong. He did not surround the quarterback. You're 100% right. He did not surround the quarterback with the talent to succeed, a good offensive line. They're not prepped for him. But this is a lot like trial by fire. I think this guy is him, and I don't think hims or dudes or whatever you want to call them in modern lingo get broken. I don't think that happens. I think those guys find a way to lift up their team. They lift up their franchise, and this franchise to me is on the doorstep of being lifted up out of the doldrums of post-Tom Brady and having an elite quarterback.
They have the guy to do it. I agree with you. I think this is the guy to do it, and I'll admit that I was wrong about that. But we agree that Justin Herbert is that guy, right? Don't we all think that Justin Herbert's an elite quarterback?
I don't know if he has the competitive moxie that Drake May has.
For the last 3 years, though, prior to
this,
even when
Drake May coming off a concussion, diving through two tacklers?
Sure.
I mean, he is him.
What, Herbert's never gotten hurt
before? And
then
he goes to the post-game podium, and he's like, those guys up front, they were really playing their ass off today. To say that so believably, so naturally, is special leadership. Because those guys up front weren't good. When they weren't missing blocks, they were getting penalties. They were terrible. And this is where I'll credit Elliott Wolf. It's all Drake May related when I credit Elliott Wolf. Really got nothing else.
The only compliment you can give him.
But remember when he told us every post-game press conference at Carolina, they tried to get Drake May to throw his line and his coaches and his scheme and his receivers, and he wouldn't do it? And you're seeing the fruits of that learning labor at North Carolina on full display because that would hinder him. If he was making plays but being a Jay Cutler-like dink,
right,
that would be bad.
Yeah, I agree.
He is,
a leader. I don't think it's elevating anybody, though. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I think it's building
says,
the locker room. I think
it?
Those comments you're hearing for a team that was teetering on a freaking mutiny, they now have a leader. It's not their head coach, and you can say whether that's good or bad.
I agree with that.
They have
too.
A leader. He wears number 10, and he can't even grow a beard, but he's the leader of this football team.
You credit the guys up front, man, those five, and you know, up front
see?
Blocking their butts off.
Yeah,
blocking
listen,
their butts off.
He said a lot of
that's
nice
a leader.
Things. He did. He said nice things. There was another 10 in the locker room that had everybody saying nice things about him, too. And it was not that long ago.
Felt fake.
All right, fine. Maybe it was, but people were still saying
because they saw the same fake leadership from Mac Jones that I saw. They were just being good teammates. Now these people believe it. Now they'll follow this guy to freedom. They'll follow this guy to success. He is a leader. He's got a torch, and they're following.
They picked him up, and I agree with that because after that game, you saw all the players go up to Drake May after that interception and say, hey, you know what? We wouldn't be here without you. Like that was a moment. I agree with that. But he also that lost the game. All right, so let's.
Well, maybe if Kendrick Bourne hadn't fallen down on the little post corner route
maybe.
He's running, and that safety couldn't just say, "Oh, that idiot's laying on the ground. I guess I can drift over this way and pick off the
sure.
pass." Or maybe if Kayshon Booty showed a little bit of heart and did anything other than like, "Oh, that guy's gonna pick this pass off and win the game." Do something.
Okay.
Try something.
Maybe he should have.
It was
dog
3 yards
central.
Underthrown,
and
he
bad.
Threw it into double coverage. It was a bad bonehead throw.
He didn't throw it into
Come
double
on.
Coverage. That guy should have been over with the Bourne.
It looked like he already turned. I saw that same video. It looked like he already turned to go back to where the ball was going. But either way, even if he hadn't, that was a dumb throw, and he underthrew it, and maybe
well,
it was into the wind.
It was
I don't know.
A physically bad throw.
Yeah.
I think that was the
and
issue.
And the first interception was, that was a bad one.
That was Mac Jones-esque.
It was.
That
which,
was
oh, I thought we're not allowed to say that. We can't say
that was Mac Jones-esque. That was late. Like under pressure, over the middle, take
getting
a shot.
Hit, yeah,
the
bad.
Fumble, we can argue about.
Protect the ball, that's what I think.
Well, he had two hands on it, and then he was going to throw to Hasty. You know what he learned there? Just keep it myself and
take
run.
Take the sack, or
just,
yeah.
Like, be smart. That was a lesson learned. I also think Hasty learned a lesson. Hey, maybe dive on the ball and get it. He should have recovered that.
He should have.
Somebody, I felt, remember when I told you in the summer when I was coming on your show, filling in back then. Now I'm officially host two.
Right.
I've really moved up the depth chart here.
Big moment for all of us. Yeah.
I thought there was a chance for a positive narrative in the summer that was lost because nobody was making plays for Drake May. He's hitting guys in the hands. Guys are stopping routes. Guys are getting tired. Like, he was doing his part, and the other guys weren't helping him take advantage of what could have been opportunities and optimism. And you're seeing that again.
Yep.
Just give the guy a little bit of help. Someday, I firmly believe, he'll be borderline able to do it himself. But he's not capable right now as a rookie making his fourth start. And maybe some other guys maybe chip in just a little bit. And just because you think he's great, don't make him prove it. Help him out.
Yeah.
Do something.
And Devon Godchild is not going to. But, you know, the rest of these guys certainly can. These guys on offense absolutely can. Drake May at the end of regulation had maybe the play of the year. And then they could have gone for two. They elected not to. Gerard Mayo talked about that this morning. We'll get into that. Should they have gone for two? And how are we feeling about this defense who got run over to start the game and run over to the end of the game? But I thought in between we're actually all right. We'll get into that as well as the decision making at the end of the game and at the end of the half. That's all coming up right after Stiz. Get you caught up on what's trending.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.